We are grateful to be able to acknowledge and be in the presence of our Maker. We all know there's nothing impossible for God. And the all-knowing knows what is good for us, what we yearn for, and the solutions to all of humanity's challenges. May we and all of God's children continue to celebrate that oneness. And may our hearts and minds be open to receive that which has been given to us, in whatever form it may be. So I thank you all for being here. Now you can ask any questions that comes to your mind.
It's Jesus Christ is a fig tree and there is the temple. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, but it was not the season for fruit. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciple heard him saying.
Give me a minute too. So that those online can hear what you. Mark what?
11.
Okay, Mark 11.
Verses 12.
This one is not giving me the. In Mark chapter 11, verse 12, right?
Right.
This is what it says. Jesus causes a fig tree and clears the temple courts. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. The symbol of the fig tree is a parable about human existence that is not fully anchored in that divinity. Because there are always a misunderstanding about why Jesus did what he did. The fig tree represents hypocrisy and pretension, because the figs, in order for it to show the kind of leaves it has, is usually when it's ready to bear fruit. But it shows up like it has fruit. So it's pretending, it's like a kid pretending to be an adult, just because they are physically big. And then when people start talking, they're like, "Oh, that's just a 7-year-old kid." And it's like, shush, you can't hang out with the adults because you can't understand it. So the fig trees in that particular region, from my understanding, when they have the leaves flourishing like that, there is this little thing coming out before the real big fruit comes that people can actually go there and pluck it and eat it. So it satisfied. What it reminded me of is when I was, excuse me, when I was in elementary school, because we have to walk to school, walk back. And on this particular street, there's these roses. They haven't fleshed out yet. They still have these buds. And I would pluck it with some of my friends, and we would throw it in our mouth and eat it. And it was so delicious. So imagine if the leaf shows that those things are there, only to go there and find out they are just leaves. And we've seen it in some of the lilies. You know, they have a lot of leaves, but they don't have the bud, right? So then the disappointment comes, because it's like, why are you pretending to be this when you are not? And that's why Jesus then said, no more for you. Because how many souls has that, if you look at that fig tree, deceived of being anchored in God and is not? How many have passed by that tree that maybe they were hungry and they go there only to find that it's all leaves? So that's why they say, though it's not in season, but it's pretending to be in season. Do we understand this? And so, in other words, this is about not just humans, but let's say those in position of leadership. It's like, if they pretend to be compassionate and empathetic and all of that, and that they are willing to, only for us to find that, no. All along, they weren't thinking of the other, they were thinking of themselves. Remember we talked about during the COVID? Well, what minister, if they were really thinking of their fellow members, we asked them to bring in the check. Especially when you know they needed it. Nobody was going to work, right? So imagine somebody who is a waitress, or they depend on transporting things, but nobody is ordering anything. The waitress can do. It's not like they have a salary. And then whatever little money they get, then you said they should give it to you. So that's what that is all about. Like, we need to stop our hypocrisy, pretending to be anchored in God when we are not. And it does not matter whether you are put in a position of leadership or you are just by yourself. Be the OG. Isn't that the expression they use? Be the authentic self. You know, you can't give what you don't have. And that's what that fig tree was trying to do. But if it had waited, you know, like we see during spring, things start coming up. If it had waited to then show off where then everybody knows, then there would be no reason for Jesus to curse it. Because first of all, by pretending, it's also taking away nutrition from others that they could use it. If you don't believe that plants can be invasive, you need to go. We have a banana tree in the back of this ashram. And it suffocated the pine trees that we were trying to plant there. It wouldn't allow to get nourishment. The water, it sucks it up. That thing just dried out. For the first time, I learned that plants can, yeah, they can get into that. And so when that banana tree did that, there is nothing left for the other things to. So you imagine the fig tree sucking up all the nutrition, all the nutrients, and then the other, and then it's pretending to be the queen or the king of the area. How many trees will come and say, hello, Mr. Fig Tree? No, they will want somebody to cut it away so that they can have life. So what Jesus is asking of us is, stop pretending to be, oh, you know you are a child of God, when all your thoughts, your actions, and your deeds shows that you don't even know that you are connected. You know, because if we remember who we are, I think each of us, it's so easy to blame the politicians as if they're not part of us. You know, we will not act the way we're acting. It's easy to blame Putin, you know. Putin is part of us. that energy goes out there too. But when you see that, if you harm someone, if you think negative of someone, you are harming yourself, then we will do the right thing. That's what that represents, that the hypocrisy needs to stop. And nobody should be deceived, you know. Remember, Jesus also said, even people will come in my name, they will say they are messiahs. Don't listen to them. You know, they are not the OG, you know. They are fakers. No, what are the ones who, they are scammers. You know, we need to use our terms, our present. Yeah, don't let them scam you. They are identity thieves, you know. And wherever we see scammers, do we want to relate to them? No. Whenever we know somebody can easily steal our identity, do we? No. So that's what Jesus was doing right there. He took charge. And of course, the disciple couldn't believe it. He said, well, when you have that connection, when you know you are the OG, you are connected. None of this. The scammers can touch you. The identity thieves can. When you say go away, they will go away. And that's why Peter was a master. Did you see? You said this thing will never say. Now he says, and he looked at me like, why are you surprised? In a way, it also tells us that Peter doesn't really get Jesus yet. Although his hand is there 24/7, he doesn't really know, you know. But Jesus knows who he is, who sent him, and all of that. And he resonates there. And then the rest of us needs to catch up. You know, Jesus didn't say he's better than us. He says, look, come back home. Remember who you are, you know. And then once you remember, you will live according. And then we will all be hunky-dory, holding hand, kumbaya, you know, because there is no difference between any of us.
I have a question. So, you know, we will say at the end of our prayers, and also it will be from the Bible, Selah. What is the meaning of Selah?
Now we are going into the mystical aspect of, we've all said Selah, you know. When you actually, it's so clear. Selah means be still. It's like the ultimate reality. It's even beyond amen, which is like, okay, when you say amen, Selah, you are acknowledging the presence of the infinite spirit. We are not talking about God now. Because people, until we realize that spirit is it, then spirit projects so that we will be able to relate, then we say God. So when you say Selah is the ultimate that, because it means still, be still and know that I'm spirit. So you are acknowledging, you are connecting back to your source. Now you remember that, no matter the deities, no matter the steps, no matter, I'm back home where everything started. It's like going back to the void where it's always still. You know, that's what Selah is. It's that stillness, be still. You are acknowledging the ultimate reality of all of existence. You say, Selah.
I have a question. Sure. I think I may have asked this in the past, but I'll ask it again, if that's okay. So when we, it's about meditation. When we go into meditation and we're in spirit or with spirit, and, you know, say 30 minutes have gone by and the bell happens and we're off somewhere, and then we hear the bell, and then there's like a hearing of a voice that says, bring your awareness back to the presence of the room. It seems like what happens is that thinking starts again at some point, in that thinking comes back. And then there's this like recognition, oh, that's right, a room. Oh, that's right, like a body. Oh, yeah, identity starts to kind of come back slowly, right? And we all reassemble, right? So I'm wondering, spiritually, what's happening from spirit's point of view when we come back? Like what is that mechanism or that bridge, or what's happening from spirit's point of view? It's almost like we're reincarnating or we're being born again. Something's happening. There's some kind of a bridge or junction there. So from spirit's point of view, what's taking place?
Well, spirit doesn't have a point of view on that.
That's the fact, true.
Yeah, you know, it is our own translation or interpretation or understanding.
I see.
Yeah, but one of the things, I'm glad you brought this up, because when I'm able to go on the other side deeper, it's always very jarring for me to hear
the bell. Yes.
Somebody just came and smacked me.
Yes.
Then it's like, oh, now I have to hustle myself to come home. And sometimes it's not that easy. But at the same time, what I understand is that spirit knows we're still in this physical body. And we cannot shelve our responsibility of living in the physical body. So when you're on the side where you are meditating and you are enjoying that bliss or whatever it is that is there, so it's like plugging to an electric outlet. So you've been juiced up. So now come back to your reality, you know, and use it and live, you know. Stop trying to live in the other reality that, you know, when it's your time to go back home, he's waiting for you. You know, it's like you visit home, then you go back to work. You know, you got to see your parents and your siblings. Now you go back to your own house or something. So, and even people, souls like Babaji, because they are still assigned to do the work here, so they still have to bring themselves, you know, shift themselves to this reality. Because it's so easy to disappear into that. Yeah, because then nobody comes to say, well, you know, move your car, you know, oh, I'm hungry, you know, are you gonna do this? So that flow, it shows us the flow is that spirit and let's say humans, they are one and the same. They are flowing in, you know. Part of you is spirit, whether you like it or not. You could say, no, I'm not. I'm this physical. Well, knock yourself out. You are this physical human being. But eventually you come to the reality that what governs your physicality is anchored in spirit. So that flow, you could say there's a bridge where, but it is not, like I said, spirit doesn't have opinion about that. What spirit knows for sure is that, look, you can visit anytime you want, but you still need to come back home and then use what you, it is remembering, it helps you to remember who you are. Then when you come back here, then you will behave like the child. When you see others, you are so nice, because it's like you've seen yourself, you know. And that's why it doesn't make sense when we hear people say, I'm meditating, they just came out of meditation, and the next thing, they're in conflict. You know, they're cursing somebody out, or there's a road rage and all of that. And God bless Dolly Parton, who's passed on, peace to us. So he said, well, if you say you're a Christian, why are you judging? I mean, it doesn't come. So it's the same thing that you go home, the reality sinks in that, oh, this is where I really am from. So whatever happens on the other side, it's okay. You know, it's part of that existence. So you don't freak out. You don't lose yourself. You're actually grateful for the opportunity to see how other things operate. So does that explain that? You can still ask
for that. I think it does. So from spirit's point of view, nothing happens. We're not going back and forth. There's no here. So only from our point of view do we seem to experience spirit and come need hear a bell and need to come back. Only from our limited viewpoint does there seem to be this, I want to call it like a switching of our awareness or our attention. It seems like we have to swap it. We have to reassess, get back in touch, and pay attention again.
Yes.
From our point of view.
Yeah, it is always from our point of view, because like in the void, in the stillness, there is no yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Everything right. is happening at the same time. But then the humanity then separates that, like, oh, this is tomorrow, this is, there is no calendar, you know. So it's like if you're in your own house and you are sitting, say, in your bedroom, and then you come out, there is no shock, you know, that, oh, the air that I breathe in my bedroom is different from the air that I just stepped out of my bed. It's the same air, you know. So anywhere you go in the ashram, in your house, it's the same air you are breathing. Now, if that's not the case, if you step out of your room into your living room or kitchen and the air is toxic, then you know there's something wrong, isn't it? So it's the same thing. So back and forth, where you are still the same spirit, the same soul, you know. We're the only one who tries to put it into segments. So that's why spirit doesn't have an opinion. But although, like I said, I hear the bell, it's just like a shock to my system. Like, oh, okay, yeah, I need to go back to the other place. Then we come back and then we forget the other. And they say, oh, come on, this is the no. I think I need to eat here. I need to go watch the sunset. There's sunset there too. Well, there's no more questions. We are grateful for the presence of infinite wisdom. May it continue to guide our ways. May we continue to celebrate the oneness of spirit. Amen.